Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, May 14th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my buddy here, Cole Shelton, to break down Saturday night's UFC Florida Fight Night event, as well as recap last night's UFC Jacksonville event. So it's going to be a really busy show today. And also, I just want to talk about it quickly, Cole, because I know people are here for MMA, but we both watched the Survivor finale last night. I have to talk about it, you know, because you and you were both watching it. I taped the whole card. I watched the Survivor show. I stay off Twitter. As soon as the card was done, I went and caught up on the UFC and went and watched it. But, I mean, great finale. I don't want to spend too much time on it because, again, this is an MMA podcast. But we do have a former MMA fighter in Sarah Lucina on Survivor. So, I mean, it is kind of relevant. But, yeah, I'm just really happy Tony won. And I'm pretty sure you feel the same way. I think it should have been unanimous. It's pretty bad that I think that some of the voters didn't give him their vote. But glad he won the $2 million. Well-deserving. And to me, the greatest player of all time.
Yeah, I think he has to be the greatest player of all time. Like, he dominated Caggiano, dominated Winners at War. Everyone knew he had such a big reputation. I watched a lot of pre-interviews, and everyone said, oh, we got to get Tony. Like, Tony's so dangerous. Yeah. And to not even have a single vote casted against him is incredible.
Yeah, no votes cast against him the whole season. And he led the charge to get rid of the, you know, several threats in the game. Four immunity challenge wins. He deserved the win. Again, I thought it should have been unanimous. I'm actually pretty embarrassed. I think the players that voted for Natalie should be embarrassed. Like, you're going to vote for someone who spent, like, what, 3 days in the game? That's a joke. So, either way, the white guy won. Sarah Lucina, who I mentioned, she did fight once in MMA. You can go back and watch that fight if you want. It's on YouTube. She's a police officer. She's a really tough chick. She came in fourth place. She played a great game, but ultimately she was done in by the fire. But either way, great event, great show, great finale. But we're here to talk about MMA, so let's get right into that right now. So, you know what, Cole? Let's start with the UFC Jacksonville recap first. We'll get through the card, and then we'll go to UFC Florida, just because I want to get this out of the way because it was last night. So, let's start with the main event of the evening. First off, you know, I got to be honest. I'm absolutely embarrassed with my picks. I know you feel the same way. I was embarrassed, you know, last night, and I woke up this morning thinking, like, wow, I can't believe, like, my picks were that bad. They were terrible, you know? And I'm someone who always owns up to, like, want to make a good pick or a bad pick, and I had terrible predictions for this event. It is what it is. I mean, I figured, you know, Cole, there would be some upsets, you know, some that I didn't see coming for sure, but it is what it is. I know you feel the same way, but you know, main event of the evening is definitely one of those fights. Anthony Smith getting just absolutely beaten down for nearly five full rounds by Glover Teixeira. It was just a ridiculous one-sided fight. I mean, it really wasn't even close. There's a lot to take away from this fight. You know, I want to get into Smith and the corner and the ref and everything, but let's talk about Glover first, because Glover did win the fight. He won it fair and square. He looked incredible. Tough start, maybe in the first round. You know, Smith looked pretty good. But then as the fight went on, I mean, Glover just took over. He looked incredible. He is 40 years old, Cole, but, man, he's fighting at, you know, an age that looks a lot younger than 40 right now. He's on a 4-5 win streak. He's beating guys that are 10 years younger than him. He's beating them impressively. To me, this is the best performance of his career. I mean, maybe the Ryan Bader win on paper is the best win he has, but this, to me, was the most impressive performance. A ridiculously good performance by Glover Teixeira, and I know you were impressed as well, Cole.
Yeah, this is the best I've seen Glover in a long, long time. After that first round, Anthony Smith looked really well, and I'm like, Anthony Smith is probably going to dominate this fight after the first round. Like, his jab was just so sharp. He was landing those overhands. Like, it just seemed like Glover was a bit slow. Like, he kept on getting hit by those overhands, and I don't know what happened, but second round, I don't know if it was like Smith gassing or if it just Glover's corner telling him something, but something switched in Glover and he just took over the fight. Like, he dominated the fight, and I guess we can sort it. That fight didn't need to hit the fifth round at all.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about there. Adrian Kapoor, Survivor odds breaker. LOL, good morning, guys. Yeah, we got our Survivor talk all the way. Me and Cole loved it, so I had to mention it, but it's MMA show, don't worry. We're going to talk about that. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Cole. Like, for sure, you know, Smith looked good in that first round. I think the criticism from DC is 100% correct. You know, James Krause was, you know, telling him to do all, you know, these combinations, and, like, he's not a lightweight, man. He's not a welterweight. He's not a featherweight. He's a light heavyweight. You know, he's only got so much output. And I think he did gas a little bit, but I think it's just Glover's cardio, like, was really impressive to me, Cole. Like, he was not tired at all. It's crazy. Like, he got stronger as the fight went on, which was really impressive to me. You know, a few years ago, he fought Gustafson for five rounds, and he got worse as the fight went on, got knocked out, I think, in the fifth round or fourth round. This fight, it was the other way around. He went and knocked out Smith in the fifth round. I mean, it was just a brutal fight. You know, as far as the stoppage goes, absolutely the fight could have been stopped sooner. I think it should have been probably stopped after that first knockdown, actually. I think it was in the third
round. Yeah, where he went face down.
Yeah.
That one? Yeah.
I thought it was over. I was surprised. You know, to be fair, Smith did, quickly, I guess, defend himself. You know, I definitely was thinking, like, maybe, you know, Jason Herzog was the ref, right? And it was him, right, Jason?
Yeah.
One of the best refs. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's one of the best refs in the business. He really is. I feel like Dominic Cruz's criticism the other night kind of like, you know, it was so like, it was all over the media. Everyone was talking about it, you know, the early stoppage. And I think he didn't want to stop the fight too early and have Smith complain. But it's like, it gets to that point where, like, you know, fourth round there and he's just getting beat down again. Like, throw in it. Okay, first off, we'll talk about the corner sec, but the referee could have easily stopped the fight at multiple points. Goal. You could have just said, you know, you're not defending yourself, man. Smith was like, you know, scrambling and crawling out of positions to get into a better spot. But Glover was just raining down bombs the whole time. I think the referee could have stopped it. But my problem is with the corner. Mark Montoya is an awful corner, man. I'm sorry. He's terrible. He's terrible. He's a good coach. He's got some great fighters, Cole. He's terrible as a corner, man. He doesn't care about his fighters' health and safety at all. Look at Thomas Gifford. That made me really angry, Cole. That one made me really angry. This made me even more angry. Anthony Smith said after the fourth round, I think I've lost my teeth. The guy was getting the shit kicked out of him. He had no chance to win the fight, and Mark Montoya did not listen to his fire and send him out there again. It was the same as Thomas Gifford, Cole. This was even worse. This is a five-round fight, not a three-round fight. Five rounds. The corner failed him. I know. I'm not sure if you talk to Mark or your friends, you don't want to say anything negative, Cole. I don't care, though, personally. The guy is terrible at his job. I'm sorry, but he is. Cole, if you have any thoughts on that, go ahead.
Yeah, the fight should have been stopped after, like, he should, at least as I said, my teeth are falling out at that point. It was two straight 10-8 rounds. Like, Anthony Smith was every single punch, even a jab, was rocking him. Like, he shouldn't have sent him out. I don't know why they even sent him out. Like, a fighter will never say, I'm done. They will always want to go out on the shield, but that's what the corner's for. They're there to protect their fighters, and they should have stopped that fight.
I mean, I feel like you have more to say, Cole. You're holding back, but, you know, I understand that you wanted to interview him probably. I don't care. You know, personally, I don't care. I'm going to say my piece here. The guy is not a good corner man. He doesn't care about his fighters, man. I'm sorry he doesn't. You know, and if he hears these comments, he's going to be upset at me. I don't really care, though, because he failed his corner, man. I care about the fighters more than anything, you know? And to me, it's like, if your fighter's getting, like, the shit kicked out of him, like Anthony Smith was, no chance to win. Cole, they were 10-7 rounds. Like, that fight should have been stopped. The referee's to blame, too. Don't get me wrong. But the corner is there to protect the fighter, man. You got to protect him for their own good. Like you said, Cole, these guys are willing to die in the octagon. You know, Anthony Smith went in there thinking, you know what, I could die tonight. Just like Justin Gaethje did last week. And Justin says that all the time. I'm willing to, you know, die in the cage. Because that's what they do. That's their mentality. But you have to have a coach that cares about you more than that. And it's like, you know, live to fight another day. The fight could have been stopped after the third round, Cole. It could have been stopped after the fourth round. It had no business going to the fifth round. And even in the fifth round, there was times where in the first minute or so where he could have thrown the towel in. And he refused to do that. The guy didn't. He lost his teeth, Cole. He was getting hurt so bad his teeth broke out of his mouth. Are you kidding me? And now it looks like he's got some serious injuries. He's going to be out for a while, man. Not only that, but Anthony Smith's gone through so much in the last month with the home invasion last month. You know, I don't know where he was mentally heading in this fight. It seemed like he was off. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a great performance by Glover. I don't want to take anything away from him because he looked incredible. I just think there was more going on that we didn't know, you know, with Anthony Smith. But again, I'm disgusted with the corner. I'm sorry, but it was pathetic, Cole. It was terrible. Any more thoughts, Cole? You're going to hide your real opinion. I know that you want to say more.
Let's go. I just don't think Mark went to, like, even if it's not Mark Montoya, someone in that corner.
Anyone. It could be anyone, you know, for sure.
Like, even James Krause. Like, James Krause is a fighter. He needs to know. Like, Anthony Smith already is coming off a year-long injury layoff. Like, do you really want him to get hurt where he's out for another year? Like, you better to save him for another day. Like, he had no shot winning that fight after the third round.
I feel bad, Cole. I don't want to get you in trouble here, man. But, yeah, for me, like, I don't care what Mark Montoya thinks about me. So I don't really care what, you know, he thinks. And I know I'm not the only person who said it. Everyone's going after this guy right now because – it's not the first time. If this is the first time, Cole, it's like, okay, you know, it's a learning experience. But the Thomas Gifford fight was even worse in some ways. That was a horrendous beatdown. They kept sending the guy out. And he was another guy. It's like, you know, I'll die for Jesus' sins or whatever he was saying. You know, this was sad to watch. it gets to the point where it's not enjoyable to watch as a fan. You're just watching someone get the shit kicked out of them. Like, and it's not, they're not defending. They're not actively, it's not even a fight at that point, Cole. It's a mauling. It's a gang attack. It's just a beatdown. Not a gang attack because it's one person, but you know what I'm saying, Cole. It's just a beatdown. Like, again, this is the sport we watch. This is the sport we love. We love watching guys fight. We love watching people in a competitive fight. Even a one-sided fight's not bad, but not when it's a prolonged beatdown for five rounds. No one needs to see that. I didn't even want to. I wanted to turn my TV off because I'm like, you know what? What's the point of watching this? Like, what did they think Smith was going to miraculously like recover and then knock Glover out? Come on, come on, Cole. Like, it was one of the most egregious decisions ever, I think, to let that fight go on. You know, past the third round, past the fourth, when the guy said, like, I have no teeth in my mouth. Like, come on. I'm just disgusted, Cole. I don't know what to say, man. Like, it bothered me, you know? And I know I'm not the only one who feels that way. I know I'm not. I see a lot of people on there. I think a lot of people are really, you know, afraid that they're going to lose access to you know, interviews with these guys. I'm not scared about that stuff. You know what I mean? I just give you my opinion. And to me, it was a horrendously bad stoppage. And the corner should be ashamed of himself. You know, the ref, I think, could have stopped it too. But I feel like this one's more in the corner, Cole. I really do. Because at least with Smith, you know, he was kind of defending a little bit, but not really. Like, you know, so I can see why Jason was giving him the chance to keep going. But for the corner, to let that fight go on, no. Get some comments here. Marcus 3 TV. What's up, Marcus? Let me pull it up there. Sorry. After Anthony Smith heals up, I think Dana White should consider booking Smith versus Rockhold. They have some heat between them, be a remarkable fight. I mean, okay, I guess. But, you know, Luke, I really don't know what it's up to. Like, he seems to, like, he wants to return at some point. But Smith is still a top 10 guy. I kind of rather see Smith. Let me see the rankings right now. But I was thinking, like, Smith versus Santos 2 maybe or something. What do you think, Cole?
I'd like Sandy Smith versus like Corey Anderson. Just,
I mean, fun, yeah, that fight makes sense too. I think he needs to, you know, not take a huge step down, but you know, he needs to take some time off the goal. He's going to need at least like 6 months, 9 months off. Like, he might not fight the rest of this year. I don't see him fighting until the end of the year, anyways. After all, because he's taking some bad injuries in this fight. But as far as Glover goes, we got to talk about him. Dana said that they're leaning towards John Jones versus Yan for the title shot, and then they're leaning towards Dominic Reyes versus Glover. That's a great fight too. I'd watch that fight. I would lean towards Dominic, but I think Glover has a chance. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a definitely interesting fight. I think I'd probably lean towards Dominic in that fight too. It's good that Jan's getting the title shot. I think he deserves it. He's been fighting. Like, he just got his coming off that good knockout win. He's beat Jacare. But like Glover, he's a guy that he's so hard to put away. And if he just keeps on going with that cardio, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he even put Reyes in trouble.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's get some other comments here. Adrian Kapoor, maybe Smith's veneers in his fate, hurt his performance like Till when he fought Masvidal. Not sure. Bright side, we now see Smith versus Luke. Yes, you like that fight as well. And then here's Adrian's last comment. I don't blame Herzog as a ref because Smith was still defending. The corner should have stopped it. Yeah, I think I actually think the ref didn't do a terrible job in this fight. I do think the fight could have been stopped at numerous points, but I don't think it was like the worst like non-referee stoppage ever. I just think as far as the corner goes, it was a really, really bad job by the corner. You know, I think it's more to blame. There's certain times where the referee's to blame, Cole, but there's certain times where the corner's to blame. This is one of those times. I know you agree with me on that. I know everyone does because I saw the comments last night on Twitter, you know, going off against James Krause. I mean, I've been labeling, just kind of throwing on Mark there, but Mark is the head of the corner, Cole. He is the head. He's the guy who's going to throw the towel in. It's not going to be James Krause. You know, James could have thrown the towel in too, but it's going to be Mark Montoya because he's the head coach and he's going to throw the towel in. Montgomery Wimmer, last night was one of the best fight night cards ever. It was pretty good. I don't know if it was one of the best ones, but, you know, I'd have to go back and look. But it was pretty good. Okay, so let's go. I think that's enough for the main event. I mean, obviously, I'm pretty fired up right now, but I really don't enjoy watching someone get, like, a prolonged beatdown. No one does. It reminded me of, like, you know, the Gifford fight, obviously, with Davis. But what about, you know, Priscilla Cachoeira when she fought Valentina Shevchenko? It reminded me of that, Cole. Just, like...
Yeah, Masaki got fired because of that. Like...
Yamasaki, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he got fired. Dana White says he's never reffing a fight because of how long he let that go on. Like,
did Dana say anything about Mark Montoya? I didn't catch that.
I know all he said was he just wishes more corners would throw in the towel like they do in boxing.
Yeah, yeah. Again, you know, I'm sure Mark hears my comments. He's not going to be happy with me. I don't really care, though, because, again, you know, Smith is, you know, a great guy, and he's going to go on the shield, like you said, Cole, but you got to save your fighter, man. Like, you think about it, Cole. Remember when Nate Diaz fought Josh Thompson and Nick Diaz threw the towel in? Why don't more people do that? I think we see less corner throw-ins, you know, the last few years. It's stupid. It should be like more. As the sport, as we learn more about the sport and like the damage these guys take, you should see more. I'm not advocating guys, you know, get a guy gets knocked down and the corner just throws it in. But if a guy's getting beat down for 25 minutes, throw the towel in. Like, seriously, so stupid. And again, Cole, it just bothers me, man. Cause like, you know, I'm sitting there watching the fight, like, and there's no one loves MMA more than me, but I'm not really into watch someone get beat down. And who wants to watch that, Cole, really? Like, you know what I mean? Anyways, okay, let's go to the rest of the fights here. Co-main event. Again, really, okay, well, we thought the fight would be weird. It was weird. The third round was awesome, I got to be honest. Like, it was a pretty damn good third round. Both guys were going for it, but ultimately, Ben Rothwell wins a split decision over Ovince St. Preux. The size was the difference here, Cole, it really was. Ben just kind of pushed his blubber against OSP against the fence and just kind of rained down, you know, knees and uppercuts from the clinch. You know, it was a pretty good performance, I think, by Ben. But again, an undersized opponent in OSP. We both thought, like, why is OSP going up? I think he's going to go back down to the light heavyweight after this. Not a good call by him, I think, moving up. But, you know, ultimately, it was a decent fight. And it was a split decision. So, I mean, Sal D'Amato thought that OSP won. I thought Ben Rothwell won the first and third rounds. And, yeah, he deserved the win. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought Rothwell won the first third. It was just – it was not a good fight, especially to be co-main, like – I think OSP needs to go back to light heavyweight. I just don't think he's that good. I thought he'd be a lot faster than Rothwell. And honestly, Rothwell looked a bit faster in there too.
Yeah, he actually looked pretty good in this fight. I got to be honest. Like, he was aggressive, pushing forward the whole time. His cardio held up well. His chin held up well. He's always been one of the toughest guys in this division. But yeah, I think, you know, his speed actually impressed me a little bit. He looked good, man. I mean, good for him. You know, he picked up the win as a dog. Got the job done. Next up, Drew Dober defeats Alexander Hernandez. Second round knockout. Looked great. We both picked Hernandez, another bad pick. I know Marcus was all over Drew Dober. Congrats, Marcus. Good pick there. You know, Dober's definitely been impressive lately, Cole. I'm still not convinced he's a top lightweight. I think he's got too many holes in this game, including in this fight where he's taken down. You know, he hurt Hernandez, got taken down. I think he fights he fights Gregor Gillespie. He's getting taken down for 50 minutes and probably getting submitted. You know, but a guy like Hernandez who's got some holes in this game himself, that's a guy he could beat. And honestly, I've been disappointed with Hernandez lately. He hasn't looked that great, but a great performance here by Drew Dober getting the job done. And it looks like Cole's frozen on me here, guys. So I don't know what's going on. With it. Oh, there you're back. Okay. Yeah. Dober looked great. Anyways, any thoughts on the fight, Cole?
Yeah, it's definitely like, I think Alexander Hernandez's UFC debut kind of hyped him up too much, that quick knockout of Dariush. And ever since then, he hasn't been that impressed. Like, he got like a win over OAM, but it was like a lackluster win. Same with the Trinaldo win. Then he got schooled by Cerrone.
Yep.
Even here, I don't know why he had the game. I thought he just tried to straight wrestle Drew Dober. We've seen Drew Dober not do very well against takedowns and be submitted. I thought Hernandez would have the advantage on the ground, but he just wanted to strike with him. And I mean, I don't really know where Alexander Hernandez goes from here because he's still a guy that likes to talk a lot of trash, but so far in the UFC, like, his record has not backed up what he's talked about.
He's 3-2 now, so it's not bad, but it's not great. He's going to get bumped out of the top 15. He probably shouldn't have been there in the first place, but, you know, he got the win over Trinaldo that got him in there. I don't know what's next for him, Cole. I think they're going to give him a big step down, you know, give him someone that's got maybe one or two fights in the UFC and try to build this kid back up because, you know, like you said, he does have potential and he is pretty good at trash talking, but you got to back it up. As far as Dober goes, I mean, geez, he's been impressive and he was pulling up his record here. He's won 6 of his last 7 fights and he's finished 4 of those fights. So he's knocking guys out in impressive fashion. You know, Drew Dober's been around the UFC for a long time now. He's always been an inconsistent guy. He's really improved a lot lately. His striking looked good. His wrestling still holds the meat goal. And again, I don't believe in him as a top contender, but, you know, a guy like Hernandez, he could beat a guy like that. Adrian Kapoor says, Dariush should be ranked, brah. He has wins over Dober and Diego Ferrer. Probably. I mean, Dariush could definitely be ranked. Yeah, for sure. He could definitely be ranked. Absolutely. I think probably he could get that top 15 spot now that Hernandez is going to get bumped out. Montgomery Whitmore fights are way better without the crowd. It's hard to say. I mean, listen, like, don't get me wrong. It's cool hearing like the punches, like the impact of them and stuff. But I mean, I don't understand. I'm not saying this is you, Montgomery, but I saw Ariel tweeting like, "Oh, the fights are so much better with fans." No, it's not. I'm sorry, but it's not. Fights are better with the crowd. You know, no doubt. This is MMA. It's a sport. Sporting events are better with crowds. You know, in my opinion, Cole. I mean, sure, there's stuff you can hear the corner better, you can hear the punches better. That stuff's great, but Cole, I mean, geez, like. Wouldn't you like to hear the fans' reaction when, like, you know, someone gets dropped? Like when Smith got dropped or when, like, Ben Rothwell got dropped the last second? I'd love to hear the crowd react. We didn't hear that. But I know what you're saying, Montgomery. Definitely there's some, positives. But I think overall, I'd rather have fans in the crowd, honestly. I don't even think that's a controversial opinion. I mean, I'd rather be in the crowd myself. Adrian Kapoor, Dover versus Iquitas, sure, why not? All right, next up we had Ricky Simon defeat Uri Borg, split decision. I did have Ricky Simon winning the
fight. Yeah,
little surprised it was a split, but you never know with judges. Either way, he got the job done, snapped a two-fight losing skid. Uri Borg snaps his two-fight win streak. Don't like him at 135, Cole. I don't think his wrestling's going to be as effective as he wants it to be. You know, Simon looked pretty good in this fight. What's next for Simon? Maybe a top 15 guy again?
Yeah, is he ranked? Or
I don't think so. I don't think he's
ranked. No, he isn't. So, maybe the loser of Vera Yudong this weekend, maybe he fights that. Because
sure.
Both of them would still be ranked. Maybe, a John Dodson, Cody Stamen, someone at that bottom half of the top 15.
Yeah, I was thinking Cody if he doesn't have a fight lined up, because I know he wants to fight soon. I think that'd be a good fight, Simone versus Cody Stamen. That'd be fun. Next up, Andre Arlovski picks up a upset win here over Philip Lienz. You know, the layoff for sure, you know, definitely hurt Lienz in this fight. He looked tired. He just looked slow. Didn't have much experience against a high-level guy like Arlovski. He did win the TFL tournament, good for him, but it was a year and a half ago, Cole. I think the layoff hurt him here. You know, Arlovski gets the win. I still don't believe in Andre as a top 15 guy in the heavyweight division, but he is a gatekeeper. He can beat guys like this. And, again, heavyweight fight, Cole. There's a lot of variance in heavyweight fights. It's hard to say what happens. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I think the layoff definitely hurt Lins, but I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, why did he leave the PFL? I mean, that's probably a good question. He's probably asking right now because he could have won another $1 million. We're now in the UFC. He just lost Andre Arlovski. He's not even going to be ranked. It's definitely a question of, do you just, look at Lance Palmer. He's just staying in the PFL and racking up the millions where people want him to go to the UFC. But he could lose a couple, just be a 12th ranked guy in the featherweight division, only make 30 and 30. Wouldn't you rather just make the million?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. And you got Kenshiro Rodoji, PFL A at UFC's level. Yeah, we all know that. That's not a surprise. But, Lins for sure. I mean, he wasn't prized in PFL, but like you said, Kenshiro, there's a difference between UFC and PFL. Kapoor. Ricky teaming up with Timur Yaman. Trudeau Bear was good for his career. He's training with them? So he's training with
Bear? I didn't know that. Maybe he is.
You can't fight him then, that's for sure. Fight him in the gym. Fans ruin it. I mean, there are some positive negatives. The fans, you can have a controversial decision, they'll boo the guy or something. That sucks. Or, fans will throw garbage in the ring. Remember that card in Brazil where they were throwing all that trash? I can't remember what card it was, but it was terrible. And it happens. But, yeah, I think overall fans are better for the sport. Adrian Kapoor, Ricky and Cheetah are boys, they will fight each other. Me and Cole did not know that. We should have known that, obviously, but that's okay. I mean, like I said, Ricky Simon versus Cody Stamen's a fight I'd like to see. I think it's a fun fight. And, Ricky could be competitive in that fight because if he can sprawl and brawl, he can win the fight. All right, going through the rest of the card here. Thiago Moises defeats Michael Johnson by ankle lock. Great performance by Moises. Michael Johnson, 3 straight losses, lost 5-6. I mean, we were looking at his record the other day and, he's got a lot of experience, but I mean, he's lost 3 straight. I think he'll get another fight call with this one short notice. He'll probably get one more fight. He loses again. He thinks he's getting cut. What do you think?
Yeah, he's 11-12 in the UFC now. But, this fight, he dominated that first round. Then he gets submitted, so fast in the second round. Michael Johnson is one of the most unpredictable guys. Think he's going to lose, and then he just dominates, and he'll get a win. Or when he's supposed to win, he just does stuff like that where he gets submitted so quick.
His record's not good. It's 19-16 now. It's not a good record. A sub-500 UFC. 9 submission losses, which is another thing. He got submitted with a heel hook by Paul Sass back in the day, and he's also been submitted. Actually, this is his third time being submitted by a heel hook or ankle lock. That's crazy. So, he's a guy that can look good at times, like Barboza and Poirier and these guys, Dariush. But overall, Cole, he's a guy that it can be pretty disappointing and stuff, And sorry, he lost Dariush, but I thought he won that fight. Anyways, consider Rodoju. Fans pay for the fight, especially ones only pay $800. To stand in the back wall, deserve to toss their $6 hot dogs, rings of boring fights. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you pay to be there, you can do what you want, I guess. But yeah, I mean, for boys, that's a good win for him, but I'm more disappointed in Johnson Cole getting tapped out by heel again. Come on. All right, going through the rest of the quarter. So Yara Eubanks defeats Sarah Morris, unanimous decision. Omar Morales defeats Gail Brinias, unanimous decision. Brian Kelleher defeats Hunter Azure by knockout. That was surprising. That looked good. And finally, Chase Sherman defeats Isaac Ike Villanueva. It says Isaac here on Wikipedia, but I know it's Ike. It's what he prefers to be called by knockout. So just going through these fights, I mean, Eubanks, that was obviously a mismatch, stupid matchup. I didn't understand. It's just Ali getting his client a really easy payday, if you ask me. No offense to Sarah, but, she's probably going to get caught. She's lost four of her last five fights. Morales looked pretty good. A lot of people were betting on him. I think he was like one of the guys that like was the most handle for the sports book. Yeah. People really liked him in that fight. I wasn't so sure, but he ended up getting the win. Kelleher looked great. I mean, Azure looked good at first, but Kelleher really made some good adjustments. He's won five fights as an underdog now, Cole, and like I think he's got seven wins. So people always count him out, and he's good. And we were talking about him the other day, Cole, and I'm like looking through his resume. I'm like, man, this guy's got a lot of experience and good wins. But, you know, Azure just got KO'd brutal fashion. Then Chase Sherman, best performance of his career. He looked amazing. Any thoughts on the early prelims?
Yeah, the Kelleher knockout really surprised me. I thought Azure was just going to be able to wrestle Kelleher and stay away from that choke. I thought, even striking-wise, I thought Azure was going to have the advantage. He looked good in the first round, then he just got caught, and it was the kick and the punch and just put him out. So it was obviously a good finish by Kelleher, and all of a sudden Kelleher, two straight wins over Contender Series guys where people were writing him off. He went from having to win to save his job to now possibly getting some of these ranked guys or guys right near the rankings.
I agree. Here we go. Adrian Kapoor, Benitez with that hole in his damn leg. So you're saying that, and it popped up on my Twitter, and it's nasty. Do you see it, Cole?
Yeah.
Pretty gross. Pretty nasty, but, you know, we've seen some bad stuff in MMA. That's disgusting, though. Kenshiro Ryodoji. Dana finally stopped letting the refs after years of early stoppage. The ref is ruining action for paying fans to stop fouls, not protect fighters. Come on. Come on, bro. I know you love your controversial opinions, Kenshiro, and we love you for that, but come on. Their job is to protect the fighters. But I agree that when Dominic Cruz said those comments, you know, it might have encouraged them to let the fights go on a little bit longer. But I think overall, you know, the refs do a good job. I think Jason Herzog's one of the best guys. Just one of those. It's a weird fight, man. It's weird because it's like, I don't feel like it was a super controversial non-stoppage for the referee, but for the corner, I think it is. It's kind of like one of those things, Cole. Adrian Kapoor had Brian by sub, but that KO was wild. He looked good. So as far as, oh, here we go. Kenshiro Ryodoji, main event ref, did a great job praying coaches to toss the talent. I think me and Cole were feeling the same way about that. As far as the bonuses go, Brian Kelleher versus Hunter Azure won fight of the night. I'm a little surprised by that call, I'll be honest. I thought they were going to give it to Smith and Teixeira. I know it was a beatdown, but I thought they would, you know, maybe reward Smith. Or maybe just go with four performance bonuses and give it to, like, you know, Glover, Dober, and then Kelleher and maybe Sherman. I thought Sherman should have got a bonus because the bonuses went to Glover and Dober. They deserve it. I have a hard time believing that Hunter Azure deserved a $50,000 bonus. I don't know about you, Cole. I don't see why he got rewarded. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that this is a card where they should have done four performance. Yeah. I don't think there was a clear fight of the night, but we've seen the UFC not do fight of the night, so it's not like something they don't do. Like, it's not uncommon. It's weird,
right? Like, I don't know. I guess the matchmakers just loved the fight. They must have been like, wow, what a great fight. But to me, it was like, I'm surprised Chase Sherman didn't get a bonus. I thought he looked incredible. Like, that was the best performance of his career, and he should have, in my opinion, been rewarded with the bonus. All right. If anyone has any last-second questions about this card, throw them in there right now, because Cole and me are going to transition and pivot to UFC Fight Night Florida. So this was UFC Fight Night Jacksonville. Now we've got UFC Fight Night Florida. And if they do a card in 2 weeks, Cole, on May 30th, what are they going to call it then? I have no idea, Cole.
UFC Sunshine State?
Sunshine State. Yeah, we'll call it something. Do you have any information about that, Cole? Because I know you're pretty
close. It's going to be May 30th. They're hoping the Apex, but it all depends on when.
Jacksonville. What do you think?
What?
I think it's going to be in Jacksonville. What do you think?
I think so, too. I don't think Nevada is going to open until June, so I don't think they're going
to
get.
Way too soon, too. Like 2 weeks ago, he was like, we're doing Nevada. We're doing it in Vegas, the Apex. No. You know, I don't think it's going to happen. All right. Last few comments here for this card. Ken, Silly Dilva, Anthony, my teeth are falling on Smith. Poor guy, man. I mean, seriously, like, again, they sign up for this. They know the risks. You can get killed in the octagon. I mean, you can get killed anywhere, but you can get killed in the octagon. You can lose your teeth, and that's what happened here. Kenshiro Ryodoji, our loss can get out of early round one win decision, but that $4,000 check is always clear winner loss. I think he does make six figures. I don't think he's making $400K anymore. But
yeah,
he's
making like $300, $350.
For this card?
Yeah, that was his last disclosed payout.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay. Kenshiro Ryodoji, 10 W Silva's coaches, says fake teeth, spinach, real teeth. I think it's, I don't know actually, because I know he has veneers, but I'm not sure. Almost killed by a daily driver every day. Yeah, dude, all of us are. I'm screaming at people when I'm driving my car too. All right, let's get to UFC Florida. I want to get to the preview of this card, Cole. So we got half an hour to do this. Let's go through it. We're going to start with the prelims as we always do and work our way up to the main event of the evening. So first fight on the card is a heavyweight bout between Dontel Mays, Rodrigo Nascimento. Mays minus 120, Nascimento plus 100. Give me your pick.
I'm going Dontel Mays. I just think it's just the experience. He has knockout power. Obviously, Nascimento is undefeated. He's coming off that contender series win, a submission. Dontel Mays' last fight was his UFC debut against Ciryl Gane. He got submitted late, but he actually did better than I thought against Gane. That was a total mismatch, but he has a ton of knockout power. He's good on the ground, where even if it gets to the ground, he can sweep positions and get on top and land ground pound. I think Mays can land something here, knock out Nassimito.
Yeah, I got Bucky Betts in here. What's going on, Bucky? How are you, man? He says he got Nassimento at plus 105. So as far as I'm concerned, I mean, first off, it's a heavyweight fight call. We all know those fights can go either way. And honestly, I feel like the underdog has been winning quite a few of these fights, Oleinik, Orlovsky. I'm going to go – I want to break the streak here, because I know two straight cards we had the same picks. And me and Cole do not talk about these picks. I have no idea what he's thinking. I'm going to break the streak here, Cole. I'm going to go with Nassimento here. Just not impressed with Dontel Mays at all, man. I just think the guy got too many holes in the game. He does hit hard. Don't doubt about it. But, you know, the fight with Gane, I think, showed a lot of holes on the ground. And I think Nassimento, he's got a pretty damn good ground game. So I think he gets the fight to the ground and submits this guy. So my pick's going to be Nassimento. I do think he can win the fight by submission. Would I bet on it? No, because I think it can go either way. It's a heavyweight fight between low-level guys. So I'm not betting on it. But my pick will be on Rodrigo Nassimento. A couple comments here. Kenshiro Udoji, I took major money bet L's Wednesday card. I'm not sure what you mean by that. I'm assuming you lost, but it was a tough card to bet. And then 10 Dilly Silva, Smith should have fought harder. I mean, he tried his best, man, but again, Glover just had a good performance. Anyways, let's just keep going with this card. Next up, Cole, Darren Elkins versus Nate Landwehr in a featherweight bout. The odds have Darren Elkins minus 125, Nate Landwehr plus 105. Who's your pick here?
I like Darren Elkins here. I know he's on a 3-fight losing streak, but look who he lost to. Alexander Volkanovski, the champ, Ricardo Lamas, and Ryan Hall, all top 15 guys, and one's a champion. He's really dangerous always on the ground. Like, he submitted Michael Johnson, knocked out Mursad Bektik. He has a lot of good wins. Nate Landwehr's kind of that knock loss to Herbert Burns in his debut. I think Elkins is going to have a wrestling advantage. I think he's going to have a jiu-jitsu advantage. I think he can even submit Nate Landwehr and make him own to the UFC. If not, I think he's going to win a clear-cut decision by Darren Elkins.
Yeah, this one's tough, too, because I picked Landwehr. I think you did, too. I can't remember, Cole. I picked Landwehr against Burns, and I was surprised he got knocked out like that, which definitely, you know, dropped him a couple pegs on my prospect ring. I know he's 31, but he's still kind of a prospect because he's new to the UFC. Anyways, I mean, the guy was impressive in Russia, no doubt about it, but that loss to Burns really just kind of opened my eyes and made me wonder, like, you know, is this guy just beating, like, you know, regular Joes in Russia? Darren Elkins is a guy who's been around forever. He's fought and defeated a lot of really good fighters at 145 and 155. Like you said, Cole, three straight losses. But again, Volkanovski, no shame in that. Lamas is a solid fighter, and Hall is really good. So those are not bad losses. You know, look at his experience. He's fought some good guys. Beat them. Michael Johnson, Mursad Bektic, Dennis Bermudez, Hatsuyoki. So he's got some good wins in his career. I just feel like he'll be able to grind this fight out. That's what he does, and I think he's going to be able to do it here. But again, it's not a fight I'm comfortable putting money on, because I think Landwehr could have a good performance here. It's just the fight's very short notice after his last loss, and I'm a little surprised he's coming back so quick, Cole. You know, it's booked on very short notice here. Kind of weird, but yeah, I'll take Darren Elkins' win decision here, Cole. But again, I'm not super confident in it. Next up, we got a women's flyweight bout. Courtney Casey against Romero Barella. Very hard name to pronounce here. Courtney Casey minus 165, Barella plus 145. Who's your pick?
I actually got Courtney Casey. I know she's moving up. She's going to be the smaller girl, but I've just been more impressed. She's like, all her losses are top girls, and she does really well on the ground. She submits a lot of people. Mara Romero Barella, she gets wrestled. That's where she loses. She lost that way to Montana Del Rosa. She got knocked out to Laura Murphy, but like, she has some good wins. I just think Casey's wrestling is going to be the difference here. I don't think the size is going to be a huge factor, because I think Casey did cut a lot of weight to 115. I don't think it's going to be that noticeable. I just think Casey can out-wrestle Mara Romero Barella and just hold on for a decision win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Casey too. Again, you know, moving up from 115, but you know, she was a decent-sized 115er, so I think she'll be okay-sized here in this division. To me, it's just the experience. She's fought and defeated some really good fighters in her career. Brandon Marcos, Angela Hill, and those are good wins. She's fought a really high-level competition. And the thing about her, Cole, they call her cast iron because she's tough as nails, dude. You can't finish her. She only loses decisions. She is inconsistent. She's hard to bet on, but you know, in this case, I just don't really believe in Barella that much. I don't think she's that great of a fighter. She hasn't looked good in the UFC at all. A little, like, surprised she's still on the roster, to be honest. I think if she loses this, she's getting cut. I'm not impressed by her game at all. I just don't see anything she does that's good. I guess, you know, she has some submissions, so good for her. But I think Casey's better on the ground here anyway. So I'll take Casey. I mean, most of her fights go to decision, Cole, so I'm assuming this fight does too. My pick will be Casey by decision. And just looking at, oh man, minus 445 on the over. That's crazy. You can't even bet that. Yeah, it's not even worth it. But she should win decision. I'm assuming that's what you're picking too. Yeah. All right, next up, we'll go to featherweight bout, actually. Mike Davis against Jigit Chikadze. Interesting fight here, Cole. Probably going to be a really fun striking battle here. Right now, we got Mike Davis minus 210, Jigit Chikadze plus 175. Who's your pick?
I have Mike Davis here. Like, his last one, that was a beatdown over Thomas Gilbert, his last fight. We talked about that earlier, but look at his two losses are a submission loss to Gilbert Burns, which was a short notice UFC debut, and then a decision loss to Sadiq Yusuf on the Contender Series. Gilbert Burns is a top welterweight, and Davis is now a featherweight, so that's a huge size difference. Sadiq Yusuf is one of the top featherweights. I haven't been impressed with Chikadze. He has two fights in the UFC, two split decisions over Jamal Emmers and Brandon Davis. This is a huge step of competition. I think Davis can catch Chikadze, and I think he can knock him out.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's going to be an interesting fight because stylistically, it's going to be striker versus striker. So I actually could see either guy winning this fight. I don't love the odds on Mike Davis here just because I think it's a little tricky matchup, man. I could see Jiga just kind of outpointing him, staying on the outside, landing these like kicks and punches on the outside and winning decision. That's kind of how he beat Emmers and Davis. I mean, those are close fights. He got the wins in those. I could see that happening. I could literally see a third straight split decision. I think it's going to be a close fight. I got to go with Mike Davis, though, Cole. Like you said, I think he's fought higher level competition. And the Gifford fight was very impressive. Gifford's not a great fighter. We all know that. But it was still impressive to see him do that work in that fight. That was a beatdown again. But and we've talked about it all podcast. But, you know, for me, I got to go with Mike Davis just because of that fight alone. That impressed me. And his other fights, like you said, the losses, two great fighters in Yusuf and Burns. So I'll take Davis. I'm just telling you guys, be careful about this because Jiga has the chance to pull off an upset here. And I wouldn't be surprised if he just outpointed him in kind of like non-exciting fashion, but just did that. Go to some comments here. Lucky Bets, he says, I bet Davis on this one. He should win, but again, I'm a little bit worried about him. And sure, we're going to do, instead of picking which of those two girls will win Saturday, I'm more worried about picking my lunch today at work. That's so funny. What do you do for work, man? Tell me. But yeah, you know, that fight, I do like Casey, but again, Cole, I mean, who knows? All right, next up, we'll go to the middleweight division. Kevin Holland against Anthony Hernandez, Fluffy, they call him. Close odds right now. Kevin Holland minus 115, Hernandez minus 105. Who's your pick?
I'm going Anthony Hernandez. What's funny about his record is his only loss in his career is to Marcus Perez was Anaconda, and then the next fight, he wins by Anaconda, which is kind of weird. But it's just the level of competition. Like, Marcus Perez obviously lost a fight, but he beat Brent Allen in LFA. He beat General Park last time out. He beat Jordan in the Contender Series, but got overturned. Kevin Holland, he obviously lost Brent Allen by submission. Alessio Jaquiro, Gerald Meyershart. He has some good wins, but I just think Hernandez is the better all-around fighter. I think striking-wise, they're pretty similar, but on the ground, I think Hernandez is much better. I think that's where he's going to have the advantage. I think he might be able to submit Kevin Holland. If not, he'll pull off a decision win.
It's a close fight. I'm going to go with Kevin Holland, though. Actually, I've been a little bit more impressed with him. He's got more experience. I think he's got some better wins here. You know, on the ground, he's actually pretty crafty. You know, I know there's been times where, obviously the Allen fight, we saw him lose there, but I think overall he's pretty crafty. He beat Gerald Meyershart, and it was a close fight, but he was able to kind of get out of bad positions, which to me is impressive. I think that's a really good win. Gerald Meyershart's a really good fighter. So I was impressed by that. You know, Hernandez coming off that last win, he got the win, but I mean, it was a tough fight, and the Perez loss didn't impress me. He has looked good, though, in the past. So, you know, interesting fight. MMA math says Hernandez should win because, you know, the Brandon Allen fights these guys have had, but I actually kind of like Kevin Holland here a little bit. Don't love him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to, I keep saying not, don't bet on these, but I mean, these are some close fights, guys. So, like, you know, you don't want to just randomly throw a dart or you want to take a shot on a guy that you actually truly believe will win the fight. In this case, I'm going to go with Kevin Holland to win the decision, but I think it's going to be a pretty close fight. It's your Road Dojo. I'm on kitchen design, cabinet store, countertops, business, and wood flooring. Awesome, man. Watching your morning podcast. Hope you guys are still walking to bother. That's awesome, dude. Glad to hear it, man. I love that. And I know Marcus is also at his bookstore right now watching. So we absolutely love that, me and Cole. Trust me, you appreciate it. All right, last prelim here, Cole. Great fight. Matt Brown against Miguel Baeza. This is probably going to be one of the best fights in the card, I would say. Definitely expecting a exciting fight. Miguel Baeza, minus 210. Matt Brown, plus 175. Who's your pick?
I'm really surprised Miguel Baeza is this big of a favorite. I know Matt Brown has been knocked out a ton. There's a last fight against Ben Saunders. That was a good performance, but I still have to go with Miguel Baeza. He's 8-0. He has a ton of knockout power. Yep. We've seen Matt Brown get knocked out a ton. I don't really trust his chin anymore. I think Baze only needs to land once and drop him and finish him. I think Baze is going to knock out Matt Brown in the first or second.
Yeah, I love Matt Brown. You know, he's a veteran. He's been around forever. We all know how dangerous he is at times. And he's coming off two straight wins. He looked great against Ben Saunders. Looked great against Diego Sanchez. But I think Baeza, you know, a lot younger. Matt Brown is now 39 years old, Cole. So he's really up there in age. He's still winning fights, so you got to give the guy credit. But Miguel Baeza, 27 years old. He looked great in his debut against Aldana, beat him with leg kicks, and then he looked great on Contender Series. A great fight with Victor Reyna. That was one of the best fights last year in Contender Series. This guy's a beast, man. I really like Miguel Baeza in this fight. Again, you know, I love Matt Brown, veteran of the sport, man. You know, he's one of the most like experienced guys in the octagon, but I just feel like this is Miguel Baeza's time. Give me Miguel Baeza, Cole. I don't know if it's going to be by knockout or decision. It could be either one. It could be submission, too. I mean, he's got a lot. Like, Matt Brown's been submitted a lot, too, but I'm guessing it's going to be a stand-up war, but I got to go with Baeza. Probably does catch Matt Brown, puts him out, but it could be a decision because Matt is very tough. All right, let's get to the main card now. Start with the featherweight belt in the main event or main card. These guys are typically bantamweights, Cole. It says it's featherweight. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so these guys are taking the fight on short notice at featherweight. I'm guessing that why that there was some confusion as far as, like, the contracts and stuff. They probably wanted to get the weight class sorted out. But they just don't have to cut weight, or as much weight, I should say. Yadong Song against Chito Vera. Great fight. This is going to be my picker fight of the night, by the way, Cole. I love this matchup. Yadong Song, minus 170. Marlon Vera, plus 150. Who's your pick?
Yeah, this is such an interesting fight. And I think no matter what's going to happen, I think it's going to impact the bantamweight rankings, even though it's a featherweight fight. I think the UFC's kind of just acting like this is a bantamweight fight. It's Cody or Yadong Song coming off that draw with Cody Stamann. I think we both thought he lost that one. I think and Marlon Vera is obviously on a long winning streak. At a lot of all by either submission or knockout, he's looked really impressive. Andre Ruhlwood was nice, but I'm going Yadong Song here. I'm a big fan of Marlon Vera. I just think whenever he gets that big step up in competition, like a John Lineker, Douglas Andrade, he just comes up short. And I think Yadong Song is that big step of competition over who he's been fighting, like a Frankie Sands, like a Nolan Hernandez, like an Andre Ruhlwood. I just think Song's just so well-rounded that he can keep this fight standing and on the feet. I just think he's the much better striker, the much powerful striker. I don't think he'll be able to finish Marlon Vera because Vera is a tough guy to finish, so I'll pick Song by decision.
Yeah, I love this fight again. My pick for Friday night. It's going to be a great fight. I do like Yadong Song to win this fight. I love both guys. Don't get me wrong. Marlon Vera has actually been a guy that he's been winning a lot of fights as a dog. He doesn't get much respect in the betting lines. Like when he fought Andre Ewell, I think he was the underdog or just a small favorite. I was like shocked. Even a guy against like a guy like Nolan Hernandez, he was just a small, like a medium-sized favorite. He should have been a massive favorite. This guy's a beast. He's a great fighter. 5-fight win streak, all by stoppage. He finishes guys. He's good on the ground. He's good standing. But the thing is, Yadong Song is like the real deal, guys. He really is. 22 years old, this kid. He's super young. He's super talented. He's right now running a 7-fight win streak. And I shouldn't say 7-fight win streak. It's an 8-fight unbeaten streak because he had that draw in his last fight. But the guy's a beast. Knockout power, he's got good wrestling, just good cardio, good everywhere. So, and he's super experienced, Cole. For a young kid like this to have 20 fights and he's 22, that's insane. He's been fighting since he's started in 2013, according to Tapology, and he's 2013, so started fighting when he was 15 years old as a pro. That's incredible. I mean, I guess there's no rules there in China or every sort of fighting, but yeah, the guy's an absolute beast, and I do like him to win this fight, Cole. Should be a great fight. It's my pick for fight of the night, like I said. I think it's going to be a stand up war, but I do like Yadong Song. Bonky Bets got Song minus 165. Kenshiro Doji. You got Yadong Song. So we both got him here. It's a great fight. Damn, it is. It is. And he says, 22 years old, great future and money earning potential. He is. And not only that, but Song trains with Uriah Faber and those guys at Team Alpha Male. I think Uriah's going to, you know, help this kid have a good career. So I think he's, you know, he's in good hands there. Again, love Marlon Vera, man. I just think it's a bad matchup for him. And I do like Yadong Song. All right, Cole, let's get to the next fight. Interesting bout here. Eric Anders against Christoph Jocko, 185. Really fun fight here as well. Jocko minus 160, Anders plus 140. Open as a pickup, so the bettors are putting their money on Jocko. Who's your pick?
I actually like the underdog in Eric Anders here. I just think it's going to be a close fight, and at this much of a plus money, I think Eric Anders has to be the pick. I think they're both on a 2-fight winning streak. Both, obviously, their two wins aren't the highest level competition is, and Vinicius Moreira and Gerald Benichert. Gerald Benichert's probably the best one out of those four because Jocko's fought Marc-Andre Barrio and Alan Ardowski. I just think Anders is the better striker. I don't think it's going to go to the ground. And I think he can be more technical striker. And I think he can pick apart Jotko. And I think he's the more powerful guy, where we've seen Jotko get knocked out before. So I wouldn't be surprised if Anders catches Jotko and puts him away. He has a ton of knockout power. And I think at underdog, my pick has to be Eric Anders.
I'm with you. The value's here on Eric Anders. Like, again, the open has a pick of -110. These guys, Jocko's getting all the money. He's getting all the love here. But I don't really agree with it. I mean, to me, it's a kind of a close fight and go either way. Both guys are inconsistent, but they can be really, you know, strong at times in the octagon. Jocko, he's got a lot of experience. He's fought a lot of good guys. But, and he's coming off two straight wins. But, I mean, really hasn't been that impressive. The Marc-Andre Barrio fight, not impressive. Amadovsky, that guy's not even really UFC caliber before that, three straight losses. So, you know, it's a guy that at one point in time had a nice win streak, and he looked like a contender. But I'm kind of like not as high on him, on Jocko, as I once was. As far as Anders goes, coming off two nice wins, Mearshart, close fight, but he won the fight. And then Vinicius Moreira, I mean, that's an easy win. He did have some tough losses in a row there, like the Khalil Roundtree fight. By the way, did Mark Montoya corner him in that fight too?
Who?
Eric Anders. I saw someone say that. Did he? Because if he did, that was a horrendous beatdown as well.
Eric Anders just trains out. He trains in Alabama with Walt Harris. He goes to Factory X like out of camp, like sometimes just to get some bodies. But he's most like in camp. He trained in camp with Walt Harris in Alabama.
Actually, I'm reading about it right now. Yeah, Mark Montoya actually did corner him in that fight. Apparently, so that fight against Khalil Roundtree, where I think he lost 30-24. Like he got dropped, I think, five times. So again, Cole, that's a keep talking about this guy, but I mean, geez, protect your fighters, dude. What's wrong with this guy? Same with the Thiago. I don't know if you did the Thiago Santos fight. That was a brutal, brutal, brutal. And yes, Kinshiro Rodo, just same coach of that round, beat up Eric Anders. This guy, come on, Cole. I mean, seriously, throw the towel in, bro. Anyways, as far as this fight goes, yeah, I do like Eric Anders, though, because I think the athleticism is going to be the difference here, Cole. You know, he's just so athletic and so explosive and powerful. He has had a rough run. I mean, he hasn't been as impressive in the UFC as a lot of us thought. I think a lot of us thought he could be a contender at one point, but you know, he's slowly building his way back up, and I got to respect that. He's made some improvements in his game. He's looked pretty good. I like Eric Anders, Cole. I think a decision, but he could win it by knockout as well. What are you picking there for the method?
Probably decision, but I wouldn't be surprised if he knocked him out.
Yeah. All right, next up, great fight here. Love this fight, too. Interesting matchup. 145. So, featherweight debut here for Edson Barboza taking on Dan Ige. Great fight. Edson Barboza right now, -130 favorite. Ige +110 underdog. Give me your pickle.
I'm going with the underdog, Dan Ige. I just don't trust Barboza cutting to 145. I don't like the move for him. I don't really know where he's getting that 10 pound from, because he looks already thinned out. He looks like jacked at 155. So, I don't know how he's going to cut more water out of himself. I just think at featherweight, Dan Ige is going to use his wrestling. I don't think Ige is going to strike with Barboza at all. I know most of Ige's fights have been striking, but I think he probably knows Barboza is the better striker. He can't let him get going. I talked to both of them, and Ige told me, he's like, I gotta strike for a bit, and then I'm looking to wrestle and just take this guy down. I think he can take Barboza down and just beat him down on the ground and probably even get a TKO win, because I don't really know how Barboza's chin is going to be at 145 either.
Yeah, there are a lot of question marks. If his chin holds up and he can stop takedowns, he wins this fight. But I don't think it's going to happen. I'm with you, Cole. I'm going to pick the underdog here, too. I like Ige in this fight. You know, I think he should be favored, honestly. So to get Ige plus money, there is value on him, because I think the line should be flipped and he should be a small favorite here, like -130, -140. It's a close fight, though. I mean, it can go either way, because we really don't know how Barboza is going to fare at 145. He might go in there and look amazing. We're like, holy crap, this guy's a contender. You know, it's possible, right? But based on what we've seen, I don't know how you could pick Barboza. I mean, the guy, his durability is a question mark. His takedown defense can be a question mark at times as well. Dan Ige's hot, five straight wins, good ground game, improving striking, a lot of momentum, a lot of confidence. I like Dan Ige in this fight, Cole. I think he probably wins the decision, maybe knocks out Edson Barboza. But again, you know, it's one of those fights where there's a lot of question marks about the guy cutting down in weight for the first time, and it makes it a very interesting fight. But yeah, I am really, I'd say to me, this is the most intriguing fight of the card. I'm very intrigued to see Barboza at 145. Because again, Cole, he might go in there and knock Ige out in the first round, the spinning wheel kick. And then we're like, holy shit, let's see this guy fight, you know, Chan Sung Jung, like, or Yair Rodriguez or something. Like, so he might have that performance, but, you know, in my opinion, it's probably going to be Ige getting his hand raised. And again, I think there is value in him as a dog. So we'll see what happens. All right, next up. Co-main event, weak co-main event. I mean, to me, this is not a great fight, but Claudia Gadillo taking on Angela Hill. Angel Hill getting a step up, good for her. She deserves it. Claudia Gadelha getting another fight in here. She was supposed to fight Randa Marcos a few months, or not Randa Marcos, sorry. What's her name?
Marina Rodriguez.
No. It's the other. No, she fought her. What's the girl? The younger girl.
Alexa Grasso.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Grasso against Gadelha. Grasso missed weight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 246, and that fight got canceled. And then she's supposed to fight Marina Rodriguez on May 2nd, and then that event got canceled.
At the Oklahoma card. So this is her third opponent now, I guess, in a few months. Anyways, Gadelha right now minus 190. Angela Hill plus 165. Who's your pick?
I like Claudia Gadelha. I just can't trust Angela Hill. Like, I know she's on a 3-5 winning streak, but look who she beat. Luma Lukbumi, Hannah Cyphers, and Ariana Carnelosi. Not that impressive. None of those are really even top 20 girls in the strawweight division. When she fights anyone higher ranked, like Jan, Marcos, Casey, Nina Arantzaba, it's all losses. She beats girls she's supposed to beat. She loses to the girls that she shouldn't beat. I think Claudia Gadelha is just better all around. Ground game, I think she's going to have a huge advantage. I wouldn't be surprised if she'd be able to submit Angela Hill. I think on the feet, she's a better striker. I don't think she'll be – I think it's going to be a submission for Claudia Gadelha or a dominant decision win.
Yeah, you know, it's one of these things where I pick against Angela every fight. And, you know, for the first bunch of UFC fights, it went well. And I was, you know, getting the fights correct. But the last three fights, she's won. And she's looked pretty good. So I got to give Angela Hill a lot of credit because she has improved a lot in the last few years. Her wrestling's better. Her striking's good. Her ground game's good. But Gadelha is a different beast. And I know Claudia is not really like the elite strawweight she once was. I think at one point in time, she could have been a champion. I think a lot of us thought she would be a champ one day. She didn't get the job done, but she's still an effective fighter because of that wrestling, Cole, and her striking's decent too. I just think she's going to wrestle Angela Hill here and win a decision. That's what I see happening. I don't really see an exciting fight here, guys. I think it's going to be, you know, takedown, 5-minute ground control, rinse and repeat, maybe get a submission possibly, but I'm thinking a decision because Angela Hill's tough to submit and she's tough to finish too. So most of her fights go the distance, and that's what I see happening here. All right, finally got to the main event of the evening. Alistair Overeem against Walt Harris, heavyweight bout, and it's the third time this fight's been booked. It was supposed to happen at UFC Washington, D.C. It was canceled because Walt Harris's daughter was murdered. So, you know, again, our condolences to Walt's family. That was a crazy story. I mean, you still have to wonder how that affects them going into this fight. And then it was supposed to happen at UFC Portland and was rebooked for this card. So these guys have trained for each other for a while now. Current odds have Walt Harris as a minus 155 favorite and Alistair the Demolition Man Overeem plus 135. Cole, who's your pick for the main event of UFC Florida?
Yeah, this is obviously an interesting fight. I think this is a big fight for both of them. If Walt Harris wants to become a contender, he's got to get past Overeem. If Overeem wants to get back to the belt, a title shot, he's got to beat Walt Harris. Like, he's got to start turning this thing around. I have to go with Walt Harris. I just think he's going to be motivated after everything that's happened. I think he's going to come out. And I really just can't trust Alistair Overeem's chin. Walt Harris, when he touches you, you go down. And I just don't think Overeem could take those punches for even five rounds. Like, I don't think it's even going to hit two rounds. Like, I think Walt Harris can get Overeem out in the first or second round. I think it's going to be a massive win for Walt Harris. But it's more so a fade on Overeem as well, just because of his chin. But I just think Harris can stuff the takedowns. He's good. So, like, where Rozenstruik struggled against Overeem was the takedowns. I think Harris can stuff those. I think on the feet, he's a much better. I think he has the more power, and I think he can land on Overeem and knock him out.
It's a tough one because, you know, I am going to pick Paul Harris as well. But it's definitely a tough fight because I think there's a lot of question marks for Walt Harris right now. Who knows how he's going to react mentally when he gets in there, Cole? I mean, he could have a, you know, great performance, or he could, you know, just not. I mean, it's really hard to say. First off, heavyweight fight, again, more variance than usual, but, you know, especially with the guy's daughter being killed. I mean, that's crazy. You know, I'm, you know, again, really sorry to hear that. You know, Walt's an absolute, you know, legend for coming in here this year. I mean, a lot of people would, you know, could have retired after that or taken a year off or something. He's coming back a few months later. I mean, that's crazy. So good for him. But, you know, I do think he probably wins this fight, Cole, just because of the KO power, the explosiveness, the athleticism, and Overeem's chin. But we've seen Walt get submitted. We've seen him get knocked out. Overeem's still got power. He's still got submission ability. So, you know, my pick's going to be Walt Harris too, Cole. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, don't, like, just fade Overeem and think he's done. He's not done. We've seen him pick up some good wins the last few years. You know, he had that win over Sergey Pavlovich, which was a nice win, or Alessio Linick. He knocked these guys out quickly. So he's a guy that is experienced. I mean, he's got 70 fights, basically, almost, and Walt doesn't have that many fights. But again, you know, Walt, the power, that's why I'm picking him, Cole. All 13 of his wins by knockout, you know, and that's impressive. and over and obviously he's been knocked out 14 times. So to me, that you're right, it's a pure fade. I'm just saying, don't just fade Overeem because of his chin. You know, you got to look at the matchup closely, and Overeem still has the submission ability. If this fight goes to the ground, Cole, he will submit Walt Harris, in my opinion. You know, and he could knock out Walt too, because Walt might gas out. I think Walt's more likely to gas if the fight goes past the first. But again, my pick's gonna be Walt by first round knockout. Just don't go crazy on this. You know, for me, you know, just looking at the card, you know, fighters I'm pretty confident in are like, I like Song and I like Baezo, I guess. But, you know, it's another tricky card, guys. It really is. Like, the short notice factor for all these fights makes it very difficult to, like, really pick and bet these fights correctly. So, you know, be careful. I know a lot of you guys are really sharp and you're going to make a lot of money. So I'm really happy and hope you do. But I'm just saying, just, you know, pick your spots wisely. Like, some people bet on every fight. That's crazy. You know, just pick a few really, you know, confident picks and then go with that. But, Cole, I'm honestly feeling there's going to be a lot of underdogs winning this card. I think you're going to see at least three or four dogs, maybe five dogs win.
Yeah, that's what you're going to see with a lot of these cards is a lot of dogs. And not even just like the slight dogs, like a lot of big dogs like Kelleher are going to come out and win. Just because it's short notice, you don't really know how the training is. It's a lot of people are fighting up a weight class. Like, there's just so many unique factors that aren't in a normal fight card for these ones.
I know, exactly. So it makes it difficult. Let me just get last questions here. Really nothing. If you guys want to send them in right now. We've got 5 minutes left or less than that, I guess now. Send them in. It's your word, Oji. Walt will TK over in the staying. Read better single leg takedown all day. I agree. That's the thing. Look at the Pavlich fight. Look what he did to Pavlich. Can't he do that to Harris? I think he can. But again, it's very hard to pick over him because of that chin. Just remember, guys, the last fight was against Jairzinho. Who's winning that fight for 4 minutes? Sorry, who's winning that fight for 24 minutes and 55 seconds, Cole? Who's winning it?
Yeah, Overeem was, and he was dominating that fight. But that's the thing, like, against Overeem, you just need one punch to land on him, and you can put him away.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. We're going to get out here in a second, but I just saw that John Jones is talking about a Francis Ngannou fight now. Wow. I mean, this is a fight I've been asking for a long time. He's saying send the deal. So it looks like John Jones, he's been saying he wants to take a fight in an exhibition fight. I don't think he knows what that means. Basically, he wants a catchweight fight. I think that's what he was saying. Exhibition fight wouldn't count his record. Looks like he wants to take some challenges, which I'm fine with. I would love to see this fight. It's the biggest fight the UFC can make, probably. Who would you favor in that fight?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I'd probably still favor John Jones. I just think his chin, I think he could handle it, and I just think his wrestling would just be a huge difference. I just don't think he'd stand up in Ngannou, and I just think he'd take down Ngannou, but I'd love to see that fight, and I hope John is actually serious and he does move up to heavyweight because it's something long overdue.
Yeah, and I've said this many times that, you know, you look at the best fighters of all time, Cole, like Anderson Silva, GSP, guys like that. They all have fought in multiple weight classes. John Jones is the one guy that really hasn't, like, went to different weight classes, you know. To me, that's the one knock against them. I mean, I still think he's the best ever. Don't get me wrong. I just think he should fight a different weight class. I think that'd be a great fight. We got Justin R. Jr. What's up, Justin, in the chat? We're basically done, man, so you came a little bit late. That's okay. You go back and watch the whole show again. We previewed the whole card for this weekend. All right, Cole. The only other thing I'd want to mention is Habib's father is in a coma right now in Russia, so we wish him the best, obviously. Yesterday, Dana White said that they're looking at September for a Gaethje and Habib fight, and they're looking at Conor to fight in July. So I'm still thinking, you know, Conor could fight Masvidal. Even if he loses, you can still put him at 155 in the title mix, but maybe they do Ferguson or Poirier instead. Poirier would be an interesting one because I think Conor would have an advantage in that fight, and if he wins that fight, he will probably finish him. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it looks like Habib and he's going to be in September now instead. All right, cool. Plug yourself, man. Let's get out of here because we're reaching out right now.
Twitter, @Akilshaw91. Interviews this week with Ige, Anders, Barboza, fighter picks for Walt Harris, Alistair Overeem, and everything else is always on my Twitter.
You guys can follow me on Twitter @MMAdamMartin. Podcast is @MMAaltspeaker.com. I'm also available at BJPen.com and MMAratings.net. Appreciate you guys tuning in this week for three podcasts, I should say, Monday, Tuesday, and today, Thursday. Card takes place Saturday night. Tomorrow we're going to have the weigh-in. So, you know, I'm assuming at least one guy's going to miss weight again. It's happened two cards in a row now, just with the short notice factor. You have to imagine someone does miss weight. Hopefully it's not a situation where a fight gets canceled because obviously you saw – the Vettori fight fall through at the last second. I don't know if you guys saw that video of Marvin Vettori. He's not happy about it, but, you know, he might get a chance to fight this weekend, possibly against Neil Magny, or maybe they'll book him in 2 weeks against someone. That guy's got some bad luck, though. He's lost a few different fights. Anyways, that's going to be it for today's show, guys. Appreciate you guys all tuning in and asking us questions. I'll be back Monday for the next edition of the podcast, recapping UFC Florida. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Cole, thanks for joining me. Bye.